ప్రేమ స్వరూపులైన విద్యార్థులారా, విద్యా బోధకులారా, విద్యాభిమానులారా,
I am like the roaring lion in the dream. My roaring will wake you up from this dream unto reality.
This is The Lion's Roar, the DSI podcast all about understanding the teachings of Satya Sai Baba in their truest form.
Grips the battlefield as the clang of steel and iron echoes through the air. The arrows of the day lay abandoned on the battleground, flight finished. Bows, swords and spears are laid aside as weary soldiers peel off their armour and cluster around campfires for warmth. The curtain of night descends on the ninth day of the Kurukshetra War, the great war between the Kauravas and the Pandavas. As the welcome blanket of sleep is laid upon the Kaurava camp, alone, cloaked figure of regal bearing gracefully and silently flits through the shadows. She moves with purpose towards the tents of the opposing army's upper echelon. The woman in question is the Pandava queen, Draupadi. Why would the queen herself make her way through the enemy camp? What is she doing? Join me as we find out. Sai Ram, I'm Deepika and welcome to the next section of Discourse 5, where Swami shares a moving and insightful episode from the Mahabharata while teaching us a deep lesson in sense control. Okay, let's rewind the clock to a little earlier this evening and head over to the Pandava camp. Just that day, the great Kaurava elder and warrior Bhishma had sworn a terrible vow to kill the five Pandava brothers in the following day's battle. Upon hearing this, the distraught Pandava queen Draupadi did the only thing she could. Lost and helpless, she ran to her only refuge. Krishna, did you hear of Bhishma's vow? His word is truth and I fear my husbands will not survive the coming battle. Only you can save them, Krishna. Krishna, the master strategist, of course had a plan up his sleeve. He instructed Draupadi, Draupadi, hide your face beneath the veil and make your way over to the Kaurava camp discreetly. In fact, slip off your shoes and leave them here so you can approach them quietly. Find Grand Sire Bhishma's tent and fall at his feet. As you do so, Draupadi, you must take care to let your bangles make noise. You go first, I'll be right behind you. Draupadi nodded her assent and hastened away. In the meanwhile, Bhishma was in his tent, pacing up and down in angst ceaselessly. Food was forgotten, sleep was a distant dream. He had, as if possessed, declared that day that he would kill the Pandavas. But the Pandavas, they were the embodiment of truth and righteousness, and to kill them without justification, that would be a heinous sin. This was the dilemma. How would his word be kept without endangering the blameless Pandavas? Engrossed in his inner turmoil, Bhishma didn't even notice the veiled figure entering his tent. Before the elder could recognize who it was, she fell respectfully at his feet, taking care to jingle her bangles as she did so. Noting the sound of the bangles, Bhishma issued the customary blessing, Dirgha Sumangali Bhava, or may you live long together with your husband. As the words fell from Bhishma's lips, the lady rose with joy, and to his surprise, he saw it was Panchali herself. Draupadi, with tears of relief in her eyes, spoke, Oh, grandsire Bhishma, I am so thankful for your blessing. I know that your blessings will never be in vain. It was for this very reason I knew I must come to see you tonight. Bhishma was taken aback. His blessing was indeed now at odds with the vow he had just sworn that day. Surprised and a little perplexed, Bhishma questioned her, Draupadi, how did you come up with this idea? Who planned this with you? How did you even get here? It was at this moment that Lord Krishna strode into the tent, calm, tranquil, and as resplendent as the sun. It didn't take Bhishma long to guess that Krishna, the divine puppeteer, had scripted the entire plot that had just unfolded. Beside himself with joyous excitement, Bhishma exclaimed, "O Lord Krishna, it's evident now that this was all your divine plan and your impeccably perfect play." In truth, Bhishma was overcome with a wave of relief. The end outcome was now clear. His hours on the battlefield were numbered, but of greater importance to him was not having to kill the virtuous Pandavas. Righteousness would prevail. Relieved of the burden, Bhishma returned to his normal self. He was suddenly overcome with hunger, having not eaten in hours out of worry for the Pandavas. He noticed something wrapped in Krishna's upper cloth tucked under his arm. Hoping that it might be something for him to eat, he eagerly asked Krishna what was wrapped in the cloth. Playful Krishna let go of the packet from under his arm, the contents tumbled out and, to the utter disbelief of Draupadi and Bhishma, it was Draupadi's slippers. Both Bhishma and Draupadi could not contain themselves. Lord Krishna had wrapped Draupadi's slippers in his own draping garment and carried the package in his own hands for her. The commander and the queen both shed profuse tears, and rife with emotion, Bhishma exclaimed, "O Krishna, who can understand your divine plays? There is no limit to the troubles you undergo in order to protect your devotees. You never hesitate to even do such things which others might consider as demeaning, degrading, or debasing. What a merciful Lord you are." In the discourse audio, Swami highlights at this point that sense control and equanimity should bring us to a point where the ups and downs of life don't bother us, where we aren't fazed by highs and lows. He says, "When it comes to matters that relate to doing good for others, guiding them to follow the right path, we must be ready to sacrifice anything." Isn't this just incredible? The concept of sense control just keeps getting deeper and deeper. In the previous discourse, Swami showed us through the examples of Tukaram, Kabir, and Einstein what this theoretical state looks like on a practical level. Our sense control and attitude of equanimity should lead us to this point where we aren't faced by thoughts such as, "Ugh, that's dirty, I'm not touching that." Instead of raising us on a pedestal, sense control should lower us in humility. Swami adds a cautionary note. We must be ready to sacrifice anything. But while sacrificing in this manner, we should adopt the right sacred path. We should not behave in a crude manner, hurting others. It's only by refining ourselves in this way, following the sacred path that Swami has laid down for us, that culture is established. Whoa, where did culture come from? We'll meet you at the beach next episode to explore this further. And it won't just be waves breaking. Swami dissolves all differences as we merge all of our divided ideas, thoughts, and opinions into the oneness of the boundless ocean. Until then, stay rawesome.